back with you again this evening. Appreciate so much you being here. This is, of course, as it has been announced, Sunday that we'll be having our congregational meeting after the service, so the sermon hopefully will be shorter. As I looked at my material, I thought, well, I hope it's short. I've got maybe more material than what I would like to have, and I'll try to go through this fairly quickly. But we'll have, after the sermon, of course, we'll have the song, and then we'll provide opportunity for those who would like to partake of the Lord's Supper. We will then have the announcements. We will not have a closing prayer. We'll then go right on into the congregational meeting after the Lord's Supper is served. And then after the congregational meeting, we'll then have a closing prayer. And those of you who may be visiting, you can get up after our service and leave. You do not have to remain during the congregational meeting. This is really primarily for the members of the congregation here. But we appreciate all who are here, could have been with us and seen him in a long time. He's moving to Pittsburgh, if you have not already heard, and will be there for taking on a new job. It's good to have his dad, David, with us tonight as well. But appreciate so much you being here. Last Sunday morning, I talked about being citizens of a kingdom. We mentioned Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, where it says that he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. And we made the point that we are now in that kingdom, that the Jesus is now reigning, and the kingdom now exists. You know, there are those who believe that Jesus is not reigning as king over his kingdom as yet. It's not going to take place until some future time when he comes back, and he will set up his kingdom here upon this earth. It's called a premillennial view. Well, the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that Jesus is now reigning as king and that he is, the kingdom exists now. And we made just the point then, the fact that we are delivered out of the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom. These Christians had been delivered out of the power of darkness and were translated into the kingdom, indicates that the kingdom was already in existence. Well, I want to emphasize that even further. Tonight, we were talking about that in a class that we had with someone earlier this week or last week, later last week, and I want to emphasize that this evening as well. Has the kingdom come? Well, you remember the prophecy of the coming of the kingdom in Daniel chapter 2. We're not going to turn there to read that, but Nebuchadnezzar had the dream, and he saw this image that had the head of gold, its chest and arms were of silver, its belly and thighs of brass, and his legs of iron, feet part iron, part clay. And they represented four different kingdoms. Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, was the head of gold. It was followed by another kingdom, which was represented by the chest and arms of silver, which would be the Medo-Persian kingdom. And then the belly and thighs of brass represented the Grecian kingdom. And then there would be that fourth kingdom, which would be represented by the legs of iron and the feet part iron and part clay. And you remember, there was a stone that was cut out of the mountain. It then struck this image at its feet, and it was then destroyed, and that mountain, that stone grew into a great mountain. And Daniel prophesied that in the days of these kings, that fourth kingdom, which would be the Romans king, that God would set up a kingdom which would never be destroyed. So the kingdom would be established during the days of the Roman Empire. Well, we know the Roman Empire existed beginning in 63 B.C. and then existed until 476 A.D. So according to the prophecy, the kingdom would have to have come during this period of time. And we know this is the time that Jesus came, and that he lived, died, buried, rose again, and that's when he ascended and sat down at the right hand of the Father on high. You see, if the kingdom was not established in these days, then Daniel was a false prophet. Because a prophet who would make a prediction that did not come to pass would be a false prophet. And so Daniel's prophecy had to be fulfilled in the days of the Roman Empire, not for some future time. And not only that, Jesus even said the time has come for it to be fulfilled. Let's compare Daniel 2:44, where we just mentioned that God would set a kingdom which would never be destroyed. It would be in the days of the Roman kings. Look with me in Mark chapter 1. In Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, it says, "Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" So the time is fulfilled, Jesus says. The kingdom of God is at hand. Daniel's prophecy and the other prophets who prophesied of the coming of the kingdom, the time has come. You remember in Mark chapter 9 and in verse 1, Jesus said to them, "Surely I say to you that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power." So Jesus says that even in the lifetime of these people to whom he's speaking, that the kingdom would be present, the kingdom would come. So Daniel prophesied that it would come in the days of the Roman king. Now the premillennialists would say, well, Jesus came to set up his kingdom, the Jews rejected it, so he postponed the kingdom to a later time and substituted the church in the place for the kingdom. And so they claim that there's going to be a refurbish of the Roman Empire that will come later, and Daniel's prophecy will be take place then. I suggest to you there are only three alternatives here. One is, Jesus made a correct statement, and the kingdom was due in the first century. And if the kingdom was postponed, then Daniel is proven to be a false prophet. Because if what Jesus said, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and what that says is that Daniel's prophecy was to be fulfilled in the first century, or in the days of the Roman Empire. Jesus is giving that interpretation to that prophecy. And if it did not happen, then Daniel is proven then to be a false prophet. It did not come to pass. A second alternative is Daniel was predicting the kingdom to come at a later date, a refurbished Roman Empire. If so, then Jesus misunderstood and failed to properly interpret the prophecy, which is not an acceptable alternative. The only acceptable alternative is the kingdom was established in the first century in the days of the Roman Empire. This is what Daniel predicted, and Jesus correctly interpreted the prophecies. And that then took place. What this tells us is the kingdom has already come. Now, is Jesus reigning as king now? Of course, we say if the kingdom had come, he is reigning as king. Let's look at some passages to prove that. Look with me in Zechariah chapter 6. And what Zechariah prophesies is that the branch, which is a reference to the Messiah who was to come, who would be the seed of David, that he would be both priest and king. He would be a priest on his throne. Zechariah 6, beginning with verse 12, "Then speak to him, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the branch," that's a reference to the Messiah, "from his place he shall branch out, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Yes, he shall build the temple of the Lord, he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule on his throne. So he shall be a priest on his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both." So this Messiah would sit and rule upon his throne. He would be a priest upon his throne. Well, we know that Christ is our high priest now. Just look at just one of these passages in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 4. The Hebrew writer makes it clear that Jesus now is a priest. Beginning with verse 14, he says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." Those Christians in the first century had a high priest. Who was it? It was Jesus. We have that high priest now. If Jesus is priest now, should not he be priest on his throne? That would indicate that he is now reigning as king over his throne. Look in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21. It even states there that he is sitting on his Father's throne. Revelation 3 and in verse 21. To him, Jesus is speaking, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Notice the past tense. As I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Jesus then was reigning as king. He is now reigning as king over his kingdom. You know, after Jesus' death and resurrection, we know that he ascended and sat down at the right hand of God. That's indicated in Hebrews 10. But look with me in Acts chapter 2. You remember, Peter is preaching to the Jews, and he proves to them that this Jesus whom they crucified was raised from the dead. He gives evidence of the resurrection of Christ. He quotes from a prophecy of David and said that David was not writing about himself, but he was writing about the Christ, that he was to rise, his flesh was not to see corruption, he was not to be left in Hades. Notice beginning with verse 29 of Acts 2, he says, "Men and brethren, let me speak freely of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would rise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we all are witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.'" Now I want to here focus in on verse 33, when he says, "Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear." In other words, this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which was evidenced by these apostles speaking in tongues, they saw the evidence of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which was evidence that Jesus had ascended and sat down at the right hand of the Father. But I want you to notice in verse 34, "For David did not ascend into the heaven, but he says himself." And he quotes from Psalm 110, verse 1, where David prophesied, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." Now that's a prophecy of what he stated in verse 33. That this Messiah was to sit down at the right hand of the Father. Well, Peter says that when Jesus was raised from the dead and ascended, he sat down at the right hand of God on high. That's in fulfillment of Psalm 110, verse 1, where David said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." Now, that is a quote from Psalm 110, verse 1. Now, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, Paul is proving that there is a resurrection of the dead. He proves that Jesus was raised from the dead, and the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead is evidence that we will be raised from the dead. Let's begin with verse 20. 1 Corinthians 15. "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Then," that is when the Lord comes, "then comes the end, when he will deliver the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet." Look there in verse 25. He must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. He says in verse 26, the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Now, till he puts all enemies under his feet, what is that a reference to? I think it's Psalm 10, verse 1, where David said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Until all his enemies are put under his feet. And so, in other words, this is a reference to then Psalm 110 and verse 1. But what is Jesus doing until that takes place? He's reigning. He must reign until that takes place. Where is he now? He's at the right hand of the Father on high. Peter says that's the case. He ascended, sat down at the right hand of the Father on high in fulfillment of the prophecy of Psalm 110, verse 1. And he will be there until all his enemies are made his footstool. Well, what's the last enemy that will be destroyed? Paul says it's death. And so that he's going to be there until the last enemy is made his footstool. What is he doing there? He must reign. He is reigning. It is a king that reigns. What that proves is that Jesus is reigning as king over his kingdom. So what's Jesus doing at the right hand of God? He is reigning as king. These are passages, and there are others that we could look at, but these prove that Jesus is now reigning as king. The kingdom has come. When we come to Christ and we render obedience to Him, we become a part of His kingdom. And we then enjoy all the blessings of that kingdom. That's not something that's going to be set up at a future time. We are part of that kingdom even now. So I hope these things have been helpful as you look at these passages to show that the kingdom has come. There may be some here tonight who are not in the kingdom. You have not submitted your life to the rule of the king. The kingdom exists. Jesus has all authority, whether you have submitted to his authority or not. But in order to enjoy the blessings that he has provided, we must come to the king. We must submit to the king. And that's what we would encourage you to do this evening. Come to Christ, believe in him, put your trust in him, repent of your sins, confess your faith. Be baptized in his name for the remission of your sins. The Lord commands you to do that, and when you'll submit to his command, then he fulfills his promise in saving you from your sins. He'll add you to his church. And if you'll serve him faithfully, you'll live with him for all eternity. If you become a Christian, you cease to submit to the king, then come back to the Lord. Repent of your sins, confess your sins, and pray God for forgiveness. If you need to come, please come as we stand and sing.